Just what is a trending topic?
A trending topic is a word or phrase that is tagged at a greater rate than other tags.
This is a trending topic.
Hashtag tunes.
Stop growing up and grow down with Jack and Brian as they rejoin the Trending Topics Network.
Hashtag tweet the table.
Get ready to have your face slammed through a table of wrestling knowledge as Captain Austin and T-Mac bring you the Spanish Announce Table.
Hashtag Weekend Box Office.
Join Mr. Old School and his panel of critics as they are your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news.
Hashtag Mobile Technology.
Take a bite out of the mobile space on trending mobile technology as Piper the DJ breaks down iOS, Microsoft, BlackBerry, and many things in between. This is the brand new Trending Topics Network.
Better check in every day.
Because you never know what's going to be trending next.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Where that man is fucking an animal.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 93 for October 9th, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, Trending Mobile Technology, and Tunes. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. Without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. 74 episodes in a row, heavy set.
We're going to steal Old School at the Movies.
We're going to steal the Brooklyn Bridge.
We've got Kevbo Trek.
Howdy.
We've got Carp.
Hey, yo.
And we've got Will.
Cock talk. Well,
there he is. Respect the cock. Let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
China changed Guardians of the Galaxy's title, and it's hilariously awkward. Spider-Man may play in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Here are the details. The insane, dangerous lengths that Shia LaBeouf went to prepare for Fury. Robert Downey Jr. will commit to Iron Man 4 if this person is involved. Why movie theater owners are pissed off at Christopher Nolan. And why Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't want any part of the Steve Jobs biopic. Heavy set, what would you like to discuss this week?
Let's talk about Spider-Man.
Thanks to the rights to certain Marvel Comics characters belonging to different movie studios, it has long been assumed that the chances of ever seeing a really complete Marvel Cinematic Universe are about zero. While Marvel has retained the rights to big heroes like Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America, the X-Men and Fantastic Four are all over at 20th Century Fox, while Spider-Man is found home at Sony. Because of the legal and business issues behind it all, there are very big walls blocking crossovers between universes. But if new rumors are to be believed, then it's possible that one of those walls could be crumbling. From what I'm understanding in this article, and this is a rumor, so we don't know if it's true, but I mean, the article does state some good sources that Sony might be intrigued to kind of do some business with Marvel and do the crossover. Now, in my opinion, I think it's good business sense. It'll reinvigorate the character. In my opinion, the Spider-Man franchise is kind of dying off. I know box office might disagree with me, but I think it would really kindle that franchise to have, you know, Spider-Man fighting alongside the Avengers. I think they'd be kick-ass. And I think Marvel's got the money to kind of throw Sony a bone or maybe even give them a portion of the proceeds to do this. I think it's a great idea. It'd be great for the fans. And I think overall, both companies would benefit from it. Heavy set, let's get your thoughts.
I really like this whole idea in general, because it is like Spider-Man is kind of losing some of its interest. I mean, especially with right now, Disney's Marvel Universe is pretty much the big thing going on right now, and everything that they can do with that. And if Sony can find a way to get in there and be a part of that, I'm completely for it. I'm not even a big Spider-Man fan, but I'm happy this was part of the show, because this is one of the few articles I've read this week alone about just Marvel's Disney Marvel Universe and Avengers in general, because it seems like right now there's just a lot of stories going on about that. And if you're a Marvel property, if that could be actually thing of someone being a property, but like that's where you want to be right now. And if you're on the outside looking in, it's very hard to try to make money because it's so huge right now.
I mean, to me, it just seems like good business sense. I'm going to get like our comic book guy's perspective here. Will, I want to get your 2 cents on this.
Okay, so yes. However, if I understand correctly, it's just sharing, and thus they're not giving back to Marvel, correct? The rights?
I think it's sharing.
By the way, I think it makes perfect sense, because what they're doing, they're reinforcing both brands at the same time. Obviously, Marvel will be paying a price for this, I'm assuming. So it's kind of interesting to say that they're buying, that Sony's has bought the rights from Marvel, and Marvel's buying this again to make their movie bigger. However, at the same time, to me, it actually helps Sony by advertising more of Spider-Man. If, think about it, the Spider-Man movie that came out this summer didn't do as well as the previous ones. It didn't do as well as Guardians, for sure. And you think about it, you have a big character doing very little compared to characters that we never heard of. However, if you make this particular Spider-Man part of the actual Marvel Universe, then all of his films become canon too, and thus they may have the same kind of response that the more typical Marvel movies get. So I think it would be a great idea on Sony's behalf.
Carp, I'm going to throw it to you next for the next news story.
Go with the insanely dangerous length Shia LaBeouf.
It's Shia LaBeouf, by the way. Yeah, so the article goes into letting us know all this crazy shit that Shia LaBeouf's doing to prepare for this tank movie, Fury. Apparently, they put on some kind of makeup cuts, and he's like, doesn't look legit enough. I'm going to legit cut myself. And then he kept the wounds open for the entire shooting of the film. Apparently, as well, he had a dentist pull his two front teeth just to show more realism in the film. I mean, in my opinion, that's a little overboard for a supporting role. I mean, listen, you got to respect his intensity, but he's already shown that he's a bit of a whack job. So in my opinion, I think he's a bit out of it, but he could be just really into it. I know there are some method actors. Meryl Streep apparently stays in character the entire time. There's a couple of people like that. Who played Lincoln? Daniel Day-Lewis.
Good
Daniel
God. Day-Lewis. How could I forget this? Thanks.
Okay, so yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis played Lincoln. Apparently he was just walking around like Lincoln, like buying a Starbucks copy, like talking like Lincoln and stuff. So I get you're into your role, but to start pulling your teeth out and cutting yourself, I think that's a bit extreme. What do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty nutty. That is one extreme for sure. I mean, there are actors, like they mentioned Bradley Cooper putting on 40 pounds of muscle, or how we've seen Christian Bale go from Batman buff to super skinny crackhead to Batman buff again. Like, the stuff that these actors are willing to put their bodies through are insane. I mean, even Chris Pratt, like, dropping 60 pounds of fat to get into shape for Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like, these people are taking years off their lives for this shit, so.
Well, I mean, getting into shape or putting on some muscle mass is one thing, but cutting yourself and ripping your teeth out? I mean, fuck.
Oh, it's Hollywood. You pay yourself for a good plastic surgeon, or you get yourself, I mean, with the dentist stuff, like, Ed Helms, for Hangover, they were thankful they was actually legit already missing a tooth. So they added that in. So he's just going to the extreme. Plus, you know, he's become a complete nutball. There's that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey, like they say, if it fully presents itself on screen that, you know, he went to all these lengths and he pulls out a good performance, more power to him for doing it.
Isn't he retiring now?
Kevin Smith's been retired since Clerks 2.
Yeah. So. Let's end with Kebo Trek. What would you like to discuss?
Let's go with Robert Downey Jr.
All right. So apparently the article states that Downey Jr. will only do Iron Man 4 if Mel Gibson is set to direct, which I think is fucking awesome. That's when you know you've got too much money. The guy, I mean, I don't even want to know how much this guy's going to get for Iron Man 4. I think he got 50 for Avengers. So, I mean, but he's just, is like, it's crazy to see the evolution of how he went from like starving actor to like multi-hundred millionaire, putting these kind of requirements in order to do a film, like to have just that particular director and one maybe who can be seen as controversial as well. I think it's a crazy idea. I think it's awesome. I'd love to see Gibson direct this. Hopefully it's better than three. Kebo Trek, what do you think? Do you think it's gotten to his head a little bit? I mean, do you think he's getting too demanding?
I don't think so. Ultimately, with or without Mel Gibson, I think he's going to do Iron Man 4 because he's probably going to get, like you said, another 40, 50 million. So while he may try to get Mel Gibson, I don't think it's going to be a deal breaker. And I don't think there's any way Disney would go with it. Like, especially because their kind of movies are more of the friendly for everyone, and there's not really bad publicity. And when you're bringing someone who's anti-Semitic onto it, I think it'll just be kind of like Ender's Game, where the negative stuff affected the movie, so I don't think they're going to want to go with that.
It's interesting, because he did have an altercation with a couple of cops, but is he technically anti-Semitic because he has one bad rant? But, like, didn't he apologize for it?
But look at Ender's Game. That's all anyone talked about was the guy being a homophobe, where the movie didn't get the spotlight. And with Gibson, like, I think this has really followed him around for the last, it was 2006, I believe, right?
But I mean, at the same time, wouldn't you want to move on? You know, you've apologized, he made a mistake, he said the wrong thing. And now you figure, okay, well, you know, at some point, wouldn't that blow over?
But maybe you'd disagree, but I don't think his apology was sincere at all. And I don't think anyone bought it. Look at Woody Allen. He's still making movies. You know, he's still getting famous people to be in his movies. So I agree that people, like, within Hollywood, people move on if there's profit to be made. But my gut says Disney, it won't be worth it for Disney to do it, especially because Downey Jr. is eventually going to leave the role.
Let's get into the movie reviews of the week. Okay, who has seen Gone Girl?
I have.
I think Heavy said as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure he was waiting to do it. Are you there, Heavy? Oh, you left.
And he dropped. Okay. All right, well, so while I get him back on the line, let's get your review.
Okay, so what I loved is that is that the trailer doesn't show you anything. I absolutely love that. We're living in an age where trailers, you pretty much get most of the film by watching it. And this one, though you may have an idea of what's at play, the movie just throws you curve after curve after curve. This is a messed up film. I can't describe too much simply because it will spoil anything that the trailer didn't spoil, that the trailer didn't want to spoil. So all I will say is that if you believe that you have an idea of what this movie is, obviously if you didn't read the book, then just please go watch it. You will feel stumped. This is the kind of movie where I felt it gave me a conclusion, and then the movie just kept going with it. You see consequences. It takes you places other movies of this genre have not taken you before. It is extremely unique, and I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. The one thing I found really weird is the soundtrack. For some reason, they felt like adding, remember when we used to have dial-up, that dial-up sound? That's what they interspersed throughout the film. And I found that weird, and the movie's supposed to make you feel uneasy. And it's kind of like, I guess, in the beginning of The Dark Knight with the Joker. It's got that feeling where you're almost annoyed by it. So that's the only thing that I found a bit disliking. However, it is the best movie I've seen. It's the best movie I've seen this year so far. I'm definitely giving this, ooh, how do I not ruin this? I definitely give this 9 Ben Affleck chins out of 10.
All right, Heavy Set, let's get your 2 cents.
Before I get into it, that music you heard, Will, did you notice who did the soundtrack for it?
No, who is it?
Trent Reznor.
Yeah, it's Trent Reznor. I was going to say, is it Trent Reznor? Yeah, it's Trent Reznor. Okay. Is that the guy who did the Dark Knight?
No, he did Social Network.
Sorry, Social Network, all right.
And he also did this band called Nine Inch Nails.
All right. Okay, well then he also did the one with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
No, but he did one with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Girl with the Lincoln Tattoo.
But anyways, did one where they're hunting for oil. I forget what it's called.
And then they free the slaves, yeah, I've seen.
Yeah, okay, good.
There Will Be Blood.
Yes, precisely. Okay, that's why it sounded like a bunch of nails scratching around, because it was done by the Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, you're retarded.
Cock talk! All right, go ahead, Abby.
I'm surprised you didn't mention about Ben Affleck getting naked, even though they don't show him.
Oh, God.
Dude, they were so close. There is a scene, I kid you not. I'm like, no, they're not going to show the shot.
He was like, hand down.
It's panning. It's panning towards his dick.
Hand down. Pull back.
I was like, God, are you really going to show this? And it just keeps tracking.
Will's like, come on. Show me the cock.
And there's another scene where you're almost sure to see Neil Patrick Harris's penis. I'm really surprised. I'm sure if you pause it, you would see it. It was just very quick.
Fantastic.
Your Kevy excitement said, about talking about Cox is scary, dude.
Dude, his name is Cock Talk. What do you expect?
Wait, so guys, if I wasn't getting married in the month, you would have serious doubts, right?
Hey, man, whatever you do in your spare time.
You would definitely be a gay man.
No, whatever you do in your spare time is your business. If you want to keep, like, rewinding Gone Girl to see if you can get Neil Patrick Harris's cock in the freeze frame and then put it on your desktop as, like, your wallpaper, that is totally your business. You go ahead. You go, man. All right. Heavy set. Go ahead.
All right. It's really hard to figure out where I want to start with this review because I did listen to the book and all that, and I've been so pumped for it. And it's kind of like what Will said of how I was from reading the book or listening to the book. I said it was like a 19-hour audiobook, and I listened to it within a whole weekend, I think from Friday to Sunday night, and that's very unusual for me, but it was one of those things I had enough time where I didn't want to put it down, and that's the movie portrays it very well. Obviously, there's things that they cut out, but all in all, I think it turned out really well as a movie, very much that the suspense, and I would love to have been with somebody who hadn't read the book or anything, just to get the reaction halfway through the movie on some of this, when some of the shit really starts flying at you, because that's, I know, when the book got great. But if I were to rate this as a movie itself, I'm going to rate it, on my personal scale, this is a 5. This is a go see this movie now type thing.
Wow.
But translate to a book, I have to knock off some things. There was the whole, they took out that part of the clue. There was a couple minor things, but minor things is fine. Whenever, now that I've started to get into some of the books and watch some of the movies afterwards, when I realize something's cut, I go, well, was that important? Sometimes it's no. The translated to a book, I'm going to rate it a B-.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much, Heavy Set. Tusk was seen by myself and Carp this weekend. I'm going to start. This is probably the worst movie of the year for me. I didn't get it. This is the movie about the walrus and stuff. There's an ad, and then he gets turned into a walrus. The practical effects for the walrus was probably the only good thing in this movie. Johnny Depp shows up, and this is not really a big spoiler because it's been revealed already, but Johnny Depp shows up about halfway through the film, and it just gets fucking weird. It was a bit creepy and a bit interesting until Depp got there, and he plays Inspector Guy Lapointe from Quebec, and he pulls off one of the worst French accents I've ever heard in my life, the French-Canadian accents. But I mean, that's nitpicking, but it just seems like Kevin Smith was really fucking high when he wrote this, and I have no idea why this was produced. It didn't lose any money, but I felt like I wasted my time. I give it 1 walrus out of 10. Cart, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, sentiments are fairly the same on this. Don't know if I'm going to see any of the rest of his great Canadian trilogy. The way he makes us look, no thank you, Kevin Smith. Learn what a Canadian is, maybe. And try
just
to make
a stereotypical, like, what's going on about that, eh? And it's just, it was too much.
Yeah, I enjoyed seeing Justin Long get tortured because, well, fuck Apple.
He's the Apple guy,
Apple guy.
It would have been good to see.
Fine with that.
The way to do it is make the PC guy fucking torture him and turn him into like a giant Apple or something.
I mean, Michael Parks did a mostly okay role until the Depp scene with him, and then he was like, it was not, it's just terrible. The practical effects were really well done. From what I'm seeing, this is a help of a rebirth of a Haley Joel Osment career because he's got a bunch of stuff coming out now. And it was rough to watch. So for me, the rating is a 1.5 out of 10 due to the awesomeness of the practical effects of the man walrus.
All right, let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down. All right, Will, let's break down the numbers for this week.
All right, so number one, I'm sure you all guessed it. It is Gone Girl, but not by much, because even though that one made $37,513,000, Annabelle made $37,134,000, so very close. What are your thoughts on it, guys?
Annabelle, $6 million budget, $37 million first week gross. I mean, it's just the same friggin', it's the same formula every time. They did the same thing with Purge. And it's just every horror movie, you just keep it at a low budget and it just makes a shit ton of money compared to the budget. You know, this is probably going to have a high drop, but, you know, it's probably going to end with about $70 million with a $6 million budget. I mean, it's just, it's always that same thing. But the Gone Girl thing actually surprised me that it went that high the first week.
Really? I thought it would be, that didn't surprise me at all. Because, I mean, that was a lot of, like, you know how we see movies that, like, come by and we never knew they were around? This one, there was a lot of ads for it. This one was well known throughout the media. I mean, am I the only one to share this opinion?
I was going to say, like, how it was in the media. Not to mention, this was I'm not sure if it was an award-winning book, but I know it was highly popular. I mean, granted, it's not it wouldn't be like your Harry Potter, your Twilight, who, you know, those have these cult followings because they're series, but Gone Girl is got a huge reception of just being a book. And after I was done listening to it, I went to a lot of interviews and just from the author, and you could tell like how big, like how popular this book was. So when it gets turned into a movie, you know, it doesn't surprise me that it did that well, but with the whole horror movie thing, I think, too, coming out in October, the beginning of October, that's huge. Instead of doing it at the end of the month when people are maybe kind of tired of it, they hit it at the beginning of the month, beginning of October, it's going to do however, you know, it's going to have that down, it's going to have that drop, but they made their money at the right time.
Just a couple of quick points about Gone Girl. I think it's going to have good word of mouth because just based on you guys' reviews on it, I want to go see it. It has a good rating on Rotten Tomatoes, so that definitely kind of shows for a lower drop-off in the second week. And I think it skews slightly older, which will also help it in its second week.
Yeah, I agree. I don't foresee a drop-off there at all. But then again, I don't know, Annabelle, as we're getting closer to Halloween, wouldn't that be like a big movie? See, I mean, did it get good reviews, Annabelle? Do you guys know?
33%, but no, it's a horror movie. It's going to have, I'd say, 65-70% drop-off.
That major drop, okay.
See, but it won't matter. It won't matter.
Okay, but see, I don't anticipate Gone Girl to drop that much at all. I think next week it shouldn't make less than $20 million next week. That's what I think.
Agreed.
So after that, we got two movies that were that came out last week. There was The Equalizer and The Box Trolls. Equalizer made $18 million, and The Box Trolls made about $12 million. Both of them are between a 45-30% drop. Then we had the great Nicolas Cage versus The Rapture film, Left Behind, that made $6 million. Did that surprise any of you?
No, it's a niche story. It's been done before. Nobody cares about this story.
No? Does Cage, do you think, is Cage much of a draw these days?
It's going to make his money back, hands down.
But in this type of movie, he's not a draw.
For a movie about The Rapture, it only cost $16 million. Not bad. Oh, and by the way, I just realized the Equalizer with this weekend made back its money. It was it would cost $55 million. It now total gross is $64 million. Number seven was This Is Where I Leave You at $4 million. Number eight, the highly anticipated Dolphin Tale 2 at $3.4 million. Still bringing it up to $37 million, which with a budget of $36 million. Then you've got number nine, the one we love, Guardians of the Galaxy, that made an extra $3 million. Boosting it up to $323 million. And then number 10 was No Good Deed at $2 million. However, its total gross is $50 million, which is great because the budget was only $13 million. So that one actually surprises me greatly. Do you guys have any more thoughts to share?
I was looking at the foreign for No Good Deed, and it has like $1 million. I don't know what that says about it, but I thought it was pretty interesting.
But it made back its money. I mean, it did really well.
All right, thank you very much, Will. Let's get into upcoming movies for this week. We've got a couple. First one, Dracula Untold.
My father was a great man. A hero, so they say. Sometimes the world doesn't need another hero. Sometimes what it needs is a monster.
I've missed you.
Something troubles you.
The Sultan is preparing for battle and requires 1,000 boys for his army, including your son.
Run to your mother.
Look away!
You can't protect us.
I'll find a way.
I have been waiting an eternity for a man of your strength to arrive.
Welcome to your life.
What is it you are seeking?
I want the power to destroy my enemies and save my family.
There's no turning back.
Drink, Dracula.
Welcome to your life.
What's happening to you?
I'm the thing men fear. Not a ghost. Something else.
Do you think you are alive because you can fight? You are alive because of what I did to save you!
The world.
Dracula Untold. This is kind of interesting. You know, it's kind of an anti-hero movie where you see the origins of why Dracula became what he became, and it's almost like you're rooting for kind of the bad guy. I like this concept. Probably be a cheapy Tuesday for me, but and normally I'm not a fan of Dracula or nothing like that, but I like the kind of anti-hero concept, so it's a yay for me. Will, it's Gear 2 Cents.
I share your opinions, old school. It reminds me somehow of Snow White and the Huntsman. Not that the themes are any similar, but the way the movie looks, the way the movie seems to have that darker tone to a familiar story and the effects, we'll see. The trailer did not sway me that much at all. I was hoping, I don't know. I mean, apart from the bat sequence, there was not much of an idea of this epic war going on. And it looked like there was this whole dark filter over it. But Cheap Tuesday, yeah, it's enough to intrigue me, so yay for me.
Kevo, track, Yerne.
Yeah, not my kind of movie.
Carp, I think this would entice you. I'm thinking a yay. What do you?
I'm a yay. It looks like basically Dracula 300 edition, and it looks about a billion times better than any piece of shit vampire flick that stars Kristen Stewart or Robert Pattinson.
There you go. That's a good point, yeah.
You know, fuck Twilight.
Fuck it. Heavy set, Yerne.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to be a nay on this one. Maybe to steal a line from you guys, maybe on a cheapy Tuesday or a Netflix.
Cool. All right, we got one more. Robert Downey Jr. in The Judge.
The infamous Hank Palmer.
The jaded lawyer with no respect for the law.
Hey! Did that just happen?
How does it feel?
Knowing every person you represent is guilty.
It's fine. Innocent people can't afford me.
Is there anything either counsel can't add?
My mom passed away this morning.
Is this the first time your mother passed away, or is this something you do on all the cases you're about to lose?
First time.
So, Grandpa Palmer's dead too?
No, Grandpa Palmer's dead to me. It's like a figure of speech.
Sounds complicated. I should go with you.
Trust me, nobody wants to go to Carlo Mill, Indiana.
He built these walls of stone.
God, here we go.
And they crumble back to dirt.
We can barely stand the sight of each other.
Henry.
Judge.
Hank, thanks for coming. I'm sure your mother would have appreciated it.
Hank Palmer.
Hank, Sheriff White. It's regarding your father.
Biggest mistake of your career and you just happened to run him over?
Forensics found traces of blood on your dad's car.
I sat on the bench in that courtroom for 42 years.
This was an accident, period.
We need to establish a firm defense.
There's no we here, Henry.
I wish I liked you more.
I can't stay.
You're a lawyer, he is your father. You leave now, you will regret it.
You're a shined up wooden nickel, Mr. Palmer. I'm going to impale your client on a first-degree murder charge, and you get a front-row seat.
My father's a lot of unpleasant things, and murder is not one of them.
I have memories of us, and I don't. Why?
Was I tough on you? Yes. I did what I thought was right.
My experience, Hank, sometimes you got to forgive in order to be forgiven.
You and I are finally done.
Oh, we're not done.
Robert Downey Jr. playing Iron Man as a lawyer, but it looks actually very good, especially the acting chops of him and Robert Duvall and Billy Bob Thornton as well. I mean, normally this is not something I would go see in a theater, but just because of the star power and the back and forth of the main characters, I'm a yay for this one. Kebo Trek, your thoughts?
I'd be a nay in a theater, maybe something I'd watch on the home market, but I wouldn't go see it in the theater.
I'd be set. You're a nay.
Oh, this is a yay for me, for sure.
Carp?
Probably a Netflix watch for me.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. So on DVD quickly, Edge of Tomorrow. Fan-fucking-tastic. Especially for a Tom Cruise fan like heavy set. Definitely check it out. Action-packed. Million Dollar Arm. Have not seen it. A Million Ways to Die in the West. If you can get it cheaper or maybe Netflix, but I was really disappointed with it. That's out as well. This week, let's get into feedback.
To be to K. Yeah.
To be to what?
To be to K. Follows around George Takei.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
All right. Let's get into feedback. Double A Andy Anderson. I don't know if you guys take time to talk about television, but is the television series Gotham any good? Is it worth getting into? Hashtag OSETM. Start with Kebo Trek.
That was pretty terrible. I lasted all of one episode watching it. Way too much. I understand what they were trying to do with the first episode, putting like every villain in it, but it was too much, and they're already going to be introducing more villains from Batman in it already, and it really didn't hold me at all, and I was bored, frankly, so I don't think it's worth it to watch it.
You just don't like Jada Pinkett Smith.
Well, yeah, there's that too. But...
And the guy from the OC.
Well, I still see him as Ryan from the OC.
Yeah, he is.
That's Ryan. Why. It's because you watched a show called The OC, and now you're all like, you're placing him in a bucket, man. You're like, no, this is him, and that's it. So you're wrong.
No, but the show was still pretty terrible.
I lost interest 2 second episode, so it's a nay for me on that one as well. Carp, have you had a chance to check it out?
Yeah, I'm still watching it. The first episode was a lot to take in because they're introducing like everything in one shot. Where they could have, I mean, they've already been renewed from what I understand for a second season, so they could have easily taken their time. I'm going to give it to the end of the season. I'm hoping it'll pick up kind of like what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did at the end of their last season, season one, or how Walking Dead picked up after a terrible season two.
Well, actually, I read just a quick paragraph on Gotham. I'm reading right now. It says, Gotham also suffers from the absolute worst case of prequelitis I have ever seen. Every character spends half their screen time reminding you who they will become when Batman comes to town. I can't imagine the restraint the producers have exercised to keep Oswald Cobblepot out of t-shirts with cute Batmans on them.
Yeah, Double A Andy Anderson also tweets, hashtag fast time at Ridgemont High. There were smoking sections in movie theaters, hashtag OSATM?
Back in the day in like the 70s and 80s, from what I understand there was.
I mean, yeah, apparently you could smoke in your doctor's office, which is like kind of like... Man.
I mean, you're telling me that there wasn't smoking in theaters? I doubt that. Especially with like our parents' generation and the generation before, when it was actually tobacco.
Yeah.
And not like all the crap that the cigarettes companies put in it now. For sure there was smoking in cinemas.
This comes from the Mop Jockey, hashtag OSATM. Will Netflix now making Crouching Tiger 2 have any effect on big movie companies? Heavy set.
Maybe, but I think it depends on how successful the movie is. I mean, granted, it's Netflix, but the reception from it, if it's mediocre, we'll see. But granted, I think this news item came out, was it last week? Before the show, and I didn't get to mention it, but we mentioned Crouching Tiger. I was going to interject it in.
Is it going to get a cinematic release or just Netflix? Do you guys know?
I thought it was just Netflix, but I didn't read that much into it.
Yeah, I only read Netflix, but who knows?
Might make more sense to put it in theaters as well. I mean, especially if it's going to cost them $20-30 million to get maybe 1 or 2 weeks of recoup money instead of just throwing it on Netflix. I mean, I don't know what their thinking is. I think it's definitely interesting. I know they're also doing a lot of origin stuff for Marvel, like kind of like the background characters. So, and you know, they have dabbled into kind of TV type series, but to do an expensive $20-30 million movie, I think is ballsy, especially without a cinematic release to recoup some of that cash. So I'm curious where it goes though. I mean, you know, I don't see them making an Avengers type movie because that's pretty much their entire budget for content licenses. But to kind of doing the smaller stuff, rekindling TV series or, you know, maybe a movie like this, they could spend 10 or 20 million. I think they could definitely revolutionize. And we've seen the success with their previous original or rekindling of TV series. So, you know, it looks like they're trying to really be the next HBO. And I think they're one step closer with doing stuff like this. All right, so let's close the show. Plugs and final thoughts. Heavy set.
StableWars.com. We're always looking for – oh, my bad. Wrong person. www.kfabesports.com. Obviously, NFL Easy Picks. New episodes coming out. There's a new episode, actually, that just got released. Well, new kind of a series. A guy who I have on the network by the name of Pat Lucy. He's starting a really quick show called 5 Minutes With, where he does really quick interviews with people. And he did his first episode this week with Taylor Hendricks, former TNA Impact Wrestling Knockout. And a little quick plug for a website that I found out about last week and I should have mentioned. Maybe some of you guys might want to take this up. Go to tagmeadate.com. It is a dating site for wrestling fans.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, but if the female wrestling fans look anything like on the indie shows, no thank you.
Dude, as some of the female wrestling fans I see at indie shows, I mean, you have some that look like maybe, quote, stereotypical, but there are some pretty good-looking girls out there. I mean, granted, they're not supermodels, but they're decently attractive, if not above average.
Well, that's funny because I was at Kevin Steen's promotion here in Montreal for IWS. Me and my friends are like, yo, holy shit, who's that super hot brunette with the big boobs? And Kevin Smith goes up to her, kisses her. We're like, yep, that's his wife, and let's not stare at her like that.
Kevin Smith?
Kevin Steen.
Damn it. Snooch to the nooch, man.
Kevin Steen's wife. Wow.
Now wrestling night is date night.
Yep.
Tagmeadate.com. Early registration has been extended to October 14th and is free until February 1st. Check it out. Kenbo Trek plugs final thoughts.
We'll go with the normal now, I guess, lphotography.ca. And I also want to just mention quickly, today is the series premiere of Flash, which is a spinoff of Arrow, which premieres tomorrow. And we have The Walking Dead Avenir season premiere on Sunday, so a lot of good TV coming out.
And The Walking Dead just got extended for another season, which brings me to the point, why do they do it season by season? I don't get it for a show that's that popular.
Budget, I'm thinking.
I think partially maybe they want like the buzz of renewing it every year, maybe. But for a show like The Walking Dead, it's a no-brainer. It's going to be on for years, so.
Yeah. A cart plugs final thoughts.
StableWars.com, ROH Stable Wars will be starting Friday. So get your teams in and see if you know ROH.
All right, awesome. So for Kebo Trek, Heavy Set, and Carp, this is Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
From the director who just wants to watch the world go boom and the studio that enables him comes the dumbest, most incoherent Transformers movie yet, which is really saying something. Did he just punch a guy with a car? Transformers: Age of Extinction. Prepare for a total reinvention of the franchise with an all-new cast, all-new villains, and cool new allies, only to end up with the same overlong piece of shit where we once again have no idea what's happening. Hey, if Michael Bay can reuse shots, we can reuse Transformers jokes. Shia LaBeouf is gone, and neither you, nor Bumblebee, nor Optimus Prime will care where he went. Instead, settle in with Boston native Texan Cade Yeager, a man fighting against all odds to sound intelligent.
That is a super simplex theater projector. It's very rare.
Who taught you how to solder a circuit? Me. That's what I do.
Oh, and he's also an inventor.
I know you have a conscience because you're an inventor like me. I'm still gonna patent this.
Something should never be invented.
I mean, that's what great inventors do. I'm an inventor. This could be a game changer for me. If I can apply that technology to my inventions, we never have to worry about money again.
You're an inventor. We get it. In a franchise that's known for objectifying hot young women, prepare for a new low as they make the movie's hot chick an underage girl.
Sweetheart, your shorts are shrinking by the second.
Make her boyfriend a legal adult and literally stop the movie to explain why it's okay for them to pork.
She's a 17-year-old girl. How old are you?
20.
She's a minor.
We're protected by the Romeo and Juliet laws.
We dated for a little while. I was a sophomore and he was a senior. It's fine.
No, it's not fine. We've got a pre-existing juvenile foundational relationship. Statute 2705-3.
What?
If only they put as much time into justifying the plot as they did for having sex with a minor. The Transformers are back, and they're as over these movies as we are.
This isn't our fight. Let's go. See ya. Goodbye.
Especially Optimus Prime.
We're done defending the humans. Autobots, we're done.
Watch as they bumble their way through another Michael Bay crap fest so lazily produced he didn't bother to fix these green screen monitors, as scenes go from day to night to day again, and lift the Sears Tower up in the background of Hong Kong. So get ready for another sequel that you hoped would be better, but instead shove the same exact thing down your gullible throats, featuring even more unrealistic explosions, going off around unfunny comic relief, jeering a never-ending sunset near an American flag.
Five, six, seven shots of eight.
Hey, guys, why is the rest of this trailer written in Chinese?
预告片大叔，谢谢你了。
Hey.
最后, 为了增进诚实预告片的国际知名度,
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 94 for October 9th, 2014.
93.
94.
You have on the notes 93. Pretty sure I just listened to 92.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I fuck up? Hold on.
Yeah, I think it was 92.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, last week was 92.
I think you're all wrong.
Because I think we're about 30 episodes ahead of Spanish Announce Table.
Yeah. You're right. All right.
Ooh.
Wow. Actually, right for once. All right, start again. Why Leonardo DiCaprio?
After you guys do it, like, either we could do it in.
Yeah.
You mean after our regular Friday night between them?
I'm on top, by the way.
After you guys see the movie.